Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
Welcome to Speak for Yourself, presented by Hyundai. Marcellus Wiley here. No Emmanuel Acho today. It's one of those Oprah opt-out days. I don't know what's going on. He just got here already tapping out. But he'll be back tomorrow, so let's keep it moving, starting with Cam Newton, who said he had a surreal moment after signing with the Patriots and actually had to pinch himself. Cam is a former MVP and led the Panthers to the Super Bowl, but this offseason, 31 other teams passed up on signing him. Cam spoke to the media on Friday and appears to not have a me-against-the-world Tupac mindset. Take a listen.
I don't have to prove nothing, because at the end of the day, especially not to nobody, I have to prove to myself. That's a daily challenge, and I don't think nobody's expectations would ever surpass my expectations for myself.
Scarf and mask, too much on it. I'm joined now by two Fox NFL analysts, Mark Sliff and LeVar Arrington. But LeVar, let's start with you. You like Cam's mindset, saying he has nothing to prove?
I like Cam's mindset for the simple fact that I know where he's coming from. When he says nobody, he's not talking about his teammates. He's not talking about the people that are going to be directly influenced by his influence. He's talking about the media. He's talking about the people who are naysaying him out in social media and in the fandom world. So to me, when he says, listen, if you're looking at me and you're basing your judgments off of what you view of me and what you think I have to be, no, he doesn't have anything to prove. And no, he doesn't have to prove it to nobody. So to me, I like the mindset, especially for the simple fact that he made it a clear point to say, listen, nobody is going to be harder on myself than myself. So I like it. I like the approach. And I believe as a leader, he's saying that in camp. So he's already had the necessary conversations that he's needed to have.
I don't like it at all. And I expect these active players to go up there and pander and give podium talk and BS, but not retired players of our. No way can we not keep it 100. You know that he says that he's not trying to prove anything to anybody, nobody.
Nobody.
Now, we know the definition of nobody. That means any person, right? He says he doesn't want to go out there and prove anything to anybody. Is Bill Belichick somebody? Oh, he is.
He's somebody, right?
Is Josh McDaniels somebody? Is Bob Kraft somebody? How about the very premise of athletics and competition is to work, 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 sometimes in silence, sometimes in private, so that you can go out there and prove to your opponent and the other team that you're actually better than them. So when I hear athletes saying, oh, man, it's all about me and I set the highest standards and who cares what everyone else thinks, come on, big dog. There's no way you even move up the pecking order, the depth chart. Remember, this is Bill Belichick in the Patriots way. The way he goes down is everybody has to earn their position. You only eat what you kill. And now you have nothing to prove to the person that's going to stand there in judgment about your career, your one-year audition to return to greatness. A lot of BS right here, big dog.
Yeah, I got to say I'm with you 100%, Marcellus. Let me tell you this. Actions speak louder than words. What have your actions shown this whole offseason? Let me prove to you that I'm healthy. Let me prove to you that I can still throw. Let me prove to you that I can still move around. Let me prove to you that I was the player that I was in 2015, not the one you've seen the last 2 years and the season with injuries. I mean, it's been a whole campaign of let me prove it to everybody. And I'm talking about social media. I'm talking about to all the media. I'm talking to everybody. Let me post the videos and let me show you that I'm all right. I hope you want to prove it. I hope you are, because you have to prove that you can stay healthy, number one. You have to prove that you were the guy in the first 8 to 10 games of the season, of the 2018 season, where you were exceptional from the pocket. You've got to continue to prove that, because that right now is the outlier. So everything you've done this offseason is to prove to everybody out there on social media, everybody out there that talks about football, that you are different, that you can still play, that you are the guy you were that won an MVP. Well, let's see it. So, to me, what you're saying, I only have to prove it to myself, and what you're doing aren't congruent. They're two totally different things.
It's all about perspectives. I respectfully understand the point of view in which both of you have come from.
Okay.
But I still have to agree from my perspective. His storyline has never changed. The things that he was doing on social media, the things that he was proving and showing to were the people that truly matter. Those don't fall in the nobody lane. I know you used the guys, Belichick and Kraft, and you brought them into the nobody conversation. But as I alluded to in my first point, those are people that matter within the parameters of what Cam is saying for himself, what he has to prove. So to me, I look at it, listen, I look at it like this. This is the beauty of what Cam did, is that it is so cryptic in so many ways that, Mark, you could have it the way that you're thinking of it. Marcellus, you could think of it the way that you're thinking of it.
I am.
And the true interpretation of it, the true interpretation of it is Cam Newton is way too smart and bright of a young man to ever make the mistake of putting a quote like that out there in the stratosphere to be talked about and dissected, knowing who he is, without the right people knowing that they matter. Like those Facebook messages. If you don't get a response from me, take that as a hint that, listen, you're just not important enough on my friends list for me to be sending a message. You're not going to be on my replies list, my retweet. That's all he's saying.
Oh, LeVar, stop. Now I got to cut you. Cam Newton, who is the homie, man. I love this dude. He knows it. I still got to do my job up here. Every other post, it seemed like it was a message to the haters. That's nobody. Oh, the message to the haters, and I quote, "I have more for you." But that's nobody. He had a huge population of they. That's what blew DJ Khaled up. The theys of the world. Who in the hell is they? And he kept talking to they. But now, since he got a gig, they're nobody. This takes me back to my childhood, man. I used to play with this little toy. We didn't have that many toys. But one of them was a speaking spell. Y'all remember that toy?
They had different colors.
Yeah, and you pull that little string, and it had like 30 program messages in it, and that big-ass arrow just turn around and find and land on it, and it just say whatever. It's so funny. Once you grab the speaking spell, a lot of these Patriot players, as soon as they get in that building, it just lands on podium talk. Oh, the Patriot way. Oh, I only have anything to prove to myself and no one else. Cam Newton is not telling the truth. Cam Newton knows what's at stake this year. Not just trying to respond to the greatness of Tom Brady and continue that legacy in New England of great quarterback play, but this is a one-year audition for Cam to either return to an NFL MVP form and be thought of as a franchise quarterback or be who he's been the last year and a half, which has been injury riddled, but compromised in terms of people perception. So when Cam knows that's at stake and then comes out there the entire offseason when he's unemployed, talking about haters and them and they, and all of a sudden now he gets the job and pulls the speaking spell string, it just lands on this one, it doesn't land well for me.
I just hope, here's what I hope for Cam Newton, because I've had the opportunity to do a couple of Carolina games and talk to Cam Newton just one-on-one, and he has grown up. And I really appreciate him taking responsibility and him growing up and maturing like we all do as we age. I mean, that's just what happens, right? But I hope he's got a giant-sized chip on his shoulder. I really do, because I want to see Cam Newton play great. I want to see him not only be the physical dominant player that he was back in 2015, but I want to see him combine that physical dominance with what I saw early in the 2018 season. Because if you get that in New England, guess what? The New England Patriots are winning that division again.
Let's move to a quarterback who knows a thing or two about New England. The guy Cam is replacing in New England, Tom Brady, led the Patriots to 6 Super Bowl titles and earned his reputation as the GOAT. Now Brady is leading a Bucs team that hasn't won a playoff game since 2002. Damn, that's when I was playing. So it's pretty obvious that adding Brady to the squad has expectations at an all-time high. So, LeVar, think Tom Brady gets a pass if the Bucs struggle this season?
No. No. And listen, when this season takes place, there are so many reasons that you could give as to why it would be justified to give him a pass. But we all know that all the storylines are tracks, train tracks that are going to eventually come to one track, and we're going to find out which locomotive has the most strength and the most coal and got there first before all the other ones came there and wrecked. That figure of speech that I just used, can Tom Brady do it without Bill Belichick? That's one of those cars. Is he too old? That's one of those trains. The fact of the matter is, as much as you would like to give him a pass if he doesn't have a good year, based off of the COVID-19 pandemic, based off of uncertainty of a season, you're still going to think about Tom Brady and the success that he had with Bill Belichick. And now you'll say he was a system quarterback. It was Bill Belichick all along. You're not getting out of that shadow if you have a poor season.
Oh, man. Gotta disagree with you again. What the hell's going on this Monday A block right here? Hold on. You just told me that Tom Brady won't get a pass if things don't work out as advertised in Tampa Bay. Have you ever heard of the word equity? Have you ever heard of the word equity? That's going to be the mattress he lands on. It's the equity. If all things go wrong in Tampa Bay, he will land on an equity mattress of 6 rings and 9 Super Bowl appearances and say, hey, every reason you just outlined, LeVar, talking about, oh, it was a compromised offseason, the pandemic, really couldn't dive into the playbook and materialize it on the practice field. Everything you laid out is going to be a reason or excuse for Tom Brady to go out there and use his mulligan. Now, let's look at this situation for what it is, a GOAT switching a franchise. That happened in the NFL before. We all know what happened when we were talking about the great Joe Montana, who found themselves in the Chiefs uniform. Now, everyone wants to talk about how, wow, that went well in terms of the win percentage, and he took them to the AFC Championship game. But people don't remember necessarily how that year ended. It ended with him going 9 of 23, 125 yards, no touchdowns, got beat by 17, and one interception against the Buffalo Bills. You think about that last game, and then you go into the offseason. Nobody was mad at Joe Montana. They was like, thank you for your services and thank you for taking us this far. You can go to other sports with Michael Jordan and the Wizards years. But if this year doesn't go as planned, as advertised, trust me, Tom Brady's just going to sit there and say, give me my mulligan and let's run it back next year. And I don't think anybody's going to blink an eye.
See, I disagree. I think Tom Brady's on the hook. I mean, I look at this team just in general. This team went 7-9 last year with a quarterback that turned it over 39 times. 39 turnovers, 30 interceptions, 9 fumbles. I mean, it is unbelievable. That's a playoff team. He's coming into one of the most loaded offenses when you talk about weapons with Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, 3 tight ends, including Gronkowski, who came out of retirement to play with his buddy Tom Brady. There are no excuses. People have been trying to bury Tom Brady for the last 4 years and say, oh, he's too old, he's too this, he's too that. There are no excuses. And then you look at that Tampa Bay defense, young. Everybody's a first, second, or third-year player on that defense. They are young. They are physical. They are athletic. They are going to run that Todd Bowles blitzing scheme. This is a team that's going to create turnovers and give Tom Brady opportunities with the football. I don't think there are any excuses for Tom Brady or the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It is playoffs or bust. And if he doesn't make it to the playoffs, I think they're going to point the finger to Tom Brady. We hired you to come in here and take us to the playoffs. That's exactly what you're supposed to do. You're the quarterback that doesn't turn it over. You're smarter than everybody else. You're going to lead us to the promised land. If you don't get it done, then everybody will be saying, hey, Tom Brady, it's true. Tom Brady's falling off a cliff. He's 43 years old. He can't play anymore. And I don't think there will be any sympathy for Tom Brady. The other thing they'll say is, oh, see, it was Bill Belichick. It wasn't Tom Brady. I don't think there's any excuses for Tom Brady.
What? Go ahead, Marcellus. You want to respond?
Yeah. You know how many NFL quarterbacks have finished a full season at the age of 43? None. Damn it. So you know what that's going to give Tom Brady? Once again, the opportunity to use the mulligan if necessary. Look at this situation for what it is. Tom Brady wants to go out there and prove that he's bigger than the New England Patriots and the Belichick-Brady whole combo and the whole Brady in New England is the only way he's going to work as a system quarterback the Patriot way. He wants to go out there and prove it. Does he need to prove it? Did Joe Montana need to prove that he was still the great one? That he was the GOAT all the way until Tom Brady took the baton from him? Absolutely not. So Tom Brady's already made his impact, and you guys know that football at the professional level is a business first. Let's talk about the jersey sales. Let's talk about the ticket sales. I don't even know if these fans are going to be able to use these tickets, but they already purchased them. Let's talk about the 5 primetime games plus flex game opportunities that the Tampa Bay Bucs already have before they even snap the ball one time. And you're saying if he makes the playoffs, playoffs or bust. He's going to make the playoffs. I was thinking in the mindset of Super Bowl or bust because that's the standard for Tom Brady. So unless you're talking Super Bowls, you're not really talking Tom Brady language.
You should have went to school for legal studies. You should be up in somebody's courtroom fight because you would get some. You would have got Ghost off in Power, man. Like, that's out the Power. You would have got him off because you love changing how the argument is used and discussed. Listen, if they sold all those tickets and jerseys, that's wonderful. That's a beautiful thing.
Oh, money doesn't count.
We're talking about if they struggled, are you giving him a pass? Fans aren't sitting there buying tickets and Tom Brady jerseys, and if he struggles during the year, they're still happy to put it on. They're going to go in their closet and they're going to be like, man, let me put Sapp's jersey back on. let me throw Keyshawn's jersey or somebody, because this ain't right what Tom Brady did to us. This ain't, you tricked me into buying tickets. Let's talk about that mattress, that soft mattress of equity, the equity match. Here we go. That mattress resides in one place called Foxborough, Boston, anywhere in that little area, that region. But one place that mattress is not going to be is in Tampa Bay, Florida. And to that point, go ahead, Mark. Go ahead. You can jump in.
I just want to know one thing. If he stinks at 43, how's he going to mulligan at 44 in the Marcellus equation?
Oh, they already gave him a mulligan. Stink? How long is the deal? Anybody?
2 years?
I bet you they get out of it quick.
2 years. Quick. $50 million fully guaranteed. They already built in a mulligan. Y'all just was sleeping on it, not reading the fine print of the contract. Coming up, Deion Sanders angered a lot of people on Twitter this weekend. I'll tell you why he got it right. Next, Speak for Yourself, presented by Hyundai.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
Welcome back to Speak for Yourself, presented by Hyundai. Let's return to the NFL, where 67 players chose to opt out of playing this season. The reasons included health concerns for themselves and their families during the pandemic. Patriots led the league with 8 players who won't play in 2020. This news prompted NFL Hall of Famer Deion Sanders to put those players on blast, tweeting, quote, "All players opting out in all sports. Please believe the game will go on without you. This is a business, and don't you ever forget that. There's no one that's bigger than the game itself. Only the ref, umps, and officials are that important that you can't play without them. Not you. Hashtag truth." Ooh. Joined once again by Mark Slare, LeVar Arrington. Start with you, LeVar. What's your reaction to what Deion said, man?
Well, my reaction was to call him and talk to him about it. And that's what I did. I got on the phone with him. Mm. And we just kind of talked through it. And I, you know, for me, when you're looking at it from a sensitive, confrontational conflict of approach, you're going to come up with a negative thought and idea of what Deion is saying. Like, there's some slave mentality connected to this, or you're not looking at it and seeing it from a reasonable or sensible perspective, but he is. And here's the reason why. When you take the sensitivities of this out, when you take the sensitivities of what's going on with this quote that he makes, I look at it and based off of my conversation with him, he's basically saying to you, the business side of this will look at it and it will say, if you left based upon health reasons and concerns, it's understandable, but our business is still continuing to move on. So you're not going to stop your business from taking place because you lost an employee. That's the business side of what's taking place. So people are still trying to figure out, well, why are people, discussing, in terms of, geez, I lost my thought here. People are discussing why Deion would compare them to the regular everyday civilian. And here's the reason why. If your money isn't guaranteed and you leave your job now and you don't happen to get your job back moving forward, you're going to find yourself looking at the same pressures that the people that are working in everyday jobs are going to find themselves in. You are not immune to having to work after you've played in the National Football League or in pro sports in general. So I understood where Deion was coming from when he made the points in terms of, listen, the show goes on. You're not bigger than the sport. You're not bigger than the game. So get it while you can, because a business is a business. It's not personal.
Mm. Deion must have bored you on that call because you lost your train of thought there.
I got a call.
What'd you say, Prime?
I got a call while I was doing
you kind of bored.
Somebody rude. They should know I'm on TV right now.
Prime could be long-winded, so I get it. You can kind of drift away a little bit. Nah. You know what's interesting? That there are some parallels to the essential workers, the everyday person out here. I think Deion got this right. I just think people are too sensitive to see the reality. I think they're trying to marry their ideals to the reality, and that's why there's this conflict. A lot of essential workers had this internal discussion. They were like, man, I want to take care of myself, my family, my health, but I need to go out there and make sure I am still a person that they hold in high esteem at the workplace, a person that is still going to have his job once this pandemic goes away. So when you're in that position, it's a little different than the NFL experience, but I think it maps on conveniently to the NFL experience. Let's break this on down. Jack Del Rio went on record and didn't say much, but said a lot. Jack Del Rio said, I don't think you guys want to know how I feel about players that are opting out. So I'm just going to stay a coach, a defensive coordinator in Washington, and remain silent. But that spoke volumes, because we are all three veterans of that football experience. Let's talk about the culture of football, where they will keep tabs and they will use judgment against you in a negative way when you're talking about players that are opting out. Let's break this down. Every single play you miss in the NFL, coaches looking at you sideways, let alone a game, let alone a season, and in their eyes, for this reason. So think about the inherent risk that we all know comes with the game of football. A lot of that, most of that, is going to be inflicted on you. So, hey, if I go out there and bash my brains in or go out there and break something dislocated, I feel the pain. But people don't know about the mental trauma that comes with playing the game of football that you do spread around that family. So there is an inherent risk that is, lack of better terms, contagious, that other people will feel because of what you're going through in that roller coaster of playing football. But, oh, boy, the times where I dislocated my finger, and I remember I was in Dallas, and I ran to the sidelines like a little kid just thinking I was going to get some sympathy and someone, please, you know, look out for me and my well-being in that moment. I remember Parcells cutting his eye, looking at me, said, you got two plays. Two plays to put that finger back in and get back in there for third down. And that's just a microcosm of the mentality of the football culture. I think Deion was talking to that, not to someone else's ideals.
I read those quotes, you know, because I had seen everybody blasting Deion on social media. I read those quotes and said, 100% true. Everything he said was 100% true. And I didn't have any problem with it. The wheel will continue to turn because that's the NFL. That's the business of the NFL. And there's not one person that has ever played this game that the league has stopped when that person could no longer play. Hey, Peyton Manning was a pretty good quarterback, right?
Yep.
Peyton Manning retired. Did the league keep going on? Yeah, it did. And it will continue to do that with or without you. It's like a U2 song, right? With or without you, that league will churn. You know, for a couple of years in Washington, going to Pro Bowls and playing hurt, the league or the Washington Redskins, excuse me, the Washington football team, as they're called now, praised me for my toughness, praised me for being a warrior, praised me for this, praised me for that. Then I got Guillain-Barré syndrome. I missed half the season in 1993. Was sick as a dog. Didn't know if I'd ever play again. Lost all the feeling in my arms and legs for about 6 months. Came back the next year, and Friday, before the first game of the season, they brought me into the office with a new contract sitting on the table and saying, you're going to play for this or we'll cut you after the game. That's how the NFL works, man. Yeah. That's the NFL. That's what they do. They don't care. It's a business. And I looked at it exactly like that. That was a business tweet. The league is going to continue to move with or without you. So make sure that you're doing it for the right reasons. If you want to opt out, there's no problem. You can opt out. But understand, you may not come back to a job. That's the way the league works.
You know, and another point to add to it, if you're opting out for health purposes, all right, and the health purposes, meaning you're going quarantine for the next 6 months. That's generally what that means. So when I was having this conversation with him, it kind of came to this point. If it's based upon your health, then let's not post on social media that you're out here doing this, that you're out here doing that.
Hello.
And for those, I mean, listen, Dotson is choosing to go on a retreat or a mission where he's helping on the front lines with COVID. That's wonderful. As long as you understand what Deion is saying is you're doing something and you have to understand there's some sacrifice. There's some give and take that takes place when you make those type of decisions. This isn't a Myron Roll decision where you're saying, you know what? I'm opting out to go start a new career altogether. You're talking about you're taking the year off based upon what you believe the risks are and what the rewards are. You weighed it out and you decided you're not going to play. That's not racial. There's no color connected to that. That number 66, however many guys that decided not to play, that is not all black players. And the last point I would make is when I was growing up, I did not grow up poor, but I did not grow up wealthy either. When I was growing up, I was driven by the idea and the thought that if I could make it to the National Football League, that I would make enough money and a great living to be able to live the type of life that I would want to be able to live. If you've worked under those pretenses and those thoughts during the course of your life and you make it to the National Football League, you really need to take 2 seconds and think about, if I'm opting out of an opportunity to continue playing in the National Football League or whatever league it is that you've dreamed and worked and tried to build up to getting to, and you're going to take this year off, I just think you got to take a little bit more time and look at it from a reasonable perspective from the business side, not just the personal side.
Exactly, guys. I mean, Deion is just really shining light to the underbelly of the NFL culture, which a lot of fans are not privy to knowing. And really don't want to understand and fully hear out. But every coach I ever played for always said that playing in the NFL is not a birthright. It's a privilege. And it comes with consequences. I remember when I finally got my opportunity to start. And my grandma used to always say, baby, be careful, because people have 2 hands. And one of them could be patting you on the back. Another one could be pushing you in the back. And I was like, interesting. And it happened to me in the NFL. You're playing through all the injuries. Remember those days you played through the injuries and they're like, oh, this guy's so tough. Oh, he's so loyal. He is such a great player for us. He buys into our program. I had a back surgery, abdominal wall surgery, foot surgery, and shoulder surgery, and still was playing well, and then had a little down tick in terms of production. And all of a sudden, like you said, Stink, that contract comes at you again, and you're like, wait a minute. All this time, you've been telling me how I've been a great soldier for the team and fighting for the cause, and now you're trying to tell me it comes at a cost. It comes at a consequence. And I think that's what Deion is talking about. But for everyone who pushed back on Deion, I just want to tell you one of the biggest problems I have in this country right now. It's that counter-arguments are too easily dismissed, too easily ridiculed, and too quickly ignored. What Deion is talking about is where the rubber meets the road. And if you've never been down that road, don't dismiss his journey so fast. Coming up, the NBA playoffs are right around the corner. Anthony Davis's shot is in preseason mode. We'll tell you if LeBron should be worried. Next, Be For Yourself, presented by Hyundai. If you want to save money this summer, why not start paying less interest on your credit card balances? Refinance with a credit card consolation loan from LightStream. It's an easy way to save hundreds to thousands of dollars and lower your interest rate. LightStream offers fixed-rate credit card consolidation loans from 5.95% APR with autopay and excellent credit. That's lower than the average credit card interest of over 19% APR. LightStream rewards consumers who have good credit with a great interest rate and no fees. The Speak For Yourself podcast is a big fan of LightStream. You can get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000. You can even get your money as soon as the day you apply. Our listeners can save even more with an additional interest rate discount. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/speak. That's LightStream.com/speak. Subject to credit approval. Rate includes 0.5% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/speak. For more information. Tonight, NL East contenders face off on FS1. Freddie Freeman and the Braves take on Bryce Harper and the Phillies. The action begins at 6 Eastern on FS1 and the Fox Sports app. In my baseball voice. Welcome back to Speak For Yourself, presented by Hyundai. Let's talk about the Lakers, who dropped their third straight game, losing to the Pacers Saturday. They already locked up the number one seed, but LA has the worst shooting percentage and scoring average
average in the bubble. And all eyes are on Anthony Davis, who has been struggling big time. I mean, struggling. Take a look at AD before the bubble. His points per game and shooting percentage were all higher, which is a huge reason why the Lakers are only 2-4 since the restart. Joined by two Fox NBA analysts, Chris Broussard, my dog, and Slick Rick DeBuca. Rick, I'm coming to you first, big dog. LeBron, should he be worried about AD heading into the playoffs?
Only if he thought that Anthony Davis was going to be a fire starter for this team. And I believe that LeBron has to know at this point that he's not that. It's no accident that when the Lakers were going well, Anthony Davis was going well. Oh. And now that the Lakers, because he's not alone, now that the Lakers collectively are struggling in the bubble, so is Anthony Davis. His comments after the Pacers game, I'm sorry, but they're absurd. I'm gonna tell you that, hey, you know, I didn't shoot well because the lighting is different and the background is different, but I'm not making excuses. I'm just telling you that there are excuses for why I shot the way I did. And by the way, right. If you're as good and talented as Anthony Davis is, your shooting doesn't determine how you play. LeBron James playing or not playing doesn't determine how you play. I thought it was very encouraging for the Clippers. Kawhi Leonard sits out, Paul George steps up, and he becomes the number one. Why? Because he's capable of doing that.
Yep.
Dame Lillard doesn't shoot the ball well last night from 3, 1 for 9. When it came down to it, I'm going to find other ways to influence the game and still score. And then I'm still going to shoot and take open threes and make my last three in a row. Not only am I not seeing that from AD, but anybody who's watched the width and breadth of his career has never seen that. He goes as the team goes. So if LeBron thought he was going to be anything different than that, then yes, he should be worried. I have to believe that LeBron knows better.
Absolutely, he has to be worried. One, you just can't lean on a resume, a history of AD carrying a team. Like, yeah, in the regular season, him being electric, him being AD, unguardable. But in the playoffs, we don't have that resume. So then you start to say, oh, it's okay, because I'm the best player on our team, and then AD just goes along for the ride. But any captain would tell you that the best co-captain is the one that allows you to take a nap every now and then, and you don't have to keep one eye open because you can't trust them. And that's what AD. So look, we watched the Pacers game, and the Pacers shoot 59% from the field with AD on the court. And then when he's off, they shoot 33%. What? How the Pacers getting better in that situation with him off the court? So then you get to a greater sample size. If you want to take it further, the Lakers have a higher win percentage. Win percentage, not the same sample size. Win percentage without AD this season than they do with AD. Plus minus since they've been in the bubble. You would think that it's the worst when both of them are gone. It's actually when both of them are on the court. What the hell is going on with the Lakers? Like, there's no chemistry at the top when you're talking about LeBron and AD. This is the wrong time for LeBron to have this type of anxiety about his Robin.
Well, the first thing we have to realize, let's just call it what it is. It's title or bust. Okay, so when we say worried, I'm not particularly worried about them getting out of the first round. Portland, whoever they're going to play, I think they'll win the first round. But this is championship or bust. So now when I say worried, I'm talking about the Clippers mainly as far as getting to the NBA Finals. So, yeah, LeBron should be worried because LeBron has always been at his best. He's won his 3 championships when his second guy is a dog. Dwayne Wade, Kyrie Irving. Mm. AD, look, Rick knows this. You talk to people around the league and they just don't think that's who he is. All right, and some are like, you can't force that personality on a guy who doesn't have it. I do think the Lakers should have tried to really cultivate that in AD all season long. He should have been the guy they went to in the fourth quarter. He should have been their main scorer down the stretch to get him ready for it. I know LeBron can deliver in the fourth quarter. They needed to work that into AD if it's possible. They didn't try to do it. He was averaging like 3 points in the fourth quarter for most of the season. Now you look at him in the bubble, he's averaging 3 points. Even in that game, that huge game he had against the Clippers at the beginning of the bubble, he had 2 points in the fourth quarter. So now you can't count on him in the fourth.
And he's showing you that he doesn't have that dog because the last three games he's averaged 11 points on 33% shooting. Mm. A dog would say, you know what? I'm 6'10". I can play in the post. Let me go get some easy ones down low. Mm. Let me get to the free throw line and get a couple of buckets to feel better about myself. Instead, AD stayed outside, shot three, shot long twos. He's not a great perimeter player. He's a good one, and especially for his size, but he's not Kevin Durant, Dirk Nowitzki. He needs to be inside a little bit more, but that takes dog. And yeah, he's lacking that, and that should concern LeBron James.
Yeah, we saw that same thing against the Rockets. He had a great opportunity to dominate that game on the inside, and he did it for a little bit, but he didn't do the point that he was going to win the game doing it. And to your point, Marcellus, you mentioned the defense, and there's no accident there. Like, AD, in many people's minds, was a defensive player of the year candidate this year. But it goes to how is the team playing?
Right.
He's not a guy who establishes that one-on-one, I'm going to lead you there. If the team collectively is playing good defense, then AD is going to be that guy that plugs all the holes and makes all the plays. He can be very, very good and versatile in that. But it always depends on the pieces around you. And what to the heart of what Chris is saying about the playoffs and making that run to the championship is you have one of two things. Either you believe that LeBron James at age 35 is never going to have a down game or a down series and is going to win four games in every series by himself, or you have to believe that Anthony Davis is going to be the best player on the floor and he's going to win some of those games for you. And what we have not seen in the bubble to this point is AD's ability to step up and say, get on my back and I will carry you. Not for a quarter, not to the best box score line, to win the game. And that's always been my concern with the idea that the Lakers were going to be able to replicate their regular season success in the postseason.
Yeah, look, Chris is saying championship or bust. Look, I saw Kyrie, I saw Dwayne Wade with LeBron win some and lose some. And it comes down to the chemistry and the trust and how they're playing well together in those critical moments. We know that LeBron has some trust issues with Dwayne Wade on the court because he was the best player, but he was in Dwayne's house. And it took him a year. And then all of a sudden, they started to relax and realize, hey, we got a 1A and a 1B situation here. And the same thing with Kyrie. And Kyrie was feeling a certain type of way. I don't know if Anthony Davis is acting out or this is just who Anthony Davis is. But to try and make this dog something that it's not, it seems like the wrong time for it to get exposed. Coming up, the Clippers lost to the Nets Sunday without their full squad. I say without their full squad. We'll tell you if chemistry will be an issue next. Speak for yourself. Presented by Hyundai. Welcome back to Speak for Yourself. Let's talk about my Clippers who lost Sunday to the Nets. But let's look a little closer. They play without Paul George, Patrick Beverley, and Montrezl Harrell. Clippers are the 2 seed in the West with 2 games to play, but they haven't played 1 game in the bubble with all 4 of their top scorers. Joined once again by Chris Broussard and Slick Rick Dubuker. Starting with you, Rick, you concerned about my Clippers' chemistry?
I feel like I should be worried about it, but I can't be worried about it if Doc Rivers isn't worried about it. And he's clearly not worried about it because he's the guy who's setting the rotation and the lineups and not putting all of the guys out there at the same time. Now, obviously, Montrezl Harrell wasn't there and hasn't been there, so he didn't have an opportunity to do that. But I look at, I'm going to say no by virtue of the fact that it's more to do with what the Lakers are missing. Chemistry was what the Lakers had over the Clippers, and obviously that's fallen off. So by default, I'm less worried about the Clippers' chemistry because it looks better in comparison. And there's some insight elements here that make me feel good about it.
Okay.
Unlike the Lakers, the role players who are getting a chance to play and play bigger roles as a result of Doc not going with his top lineups, for the most part, are delivering. Jermichael Green has been doing more. Ivica Zubac has been doing more. I'm seeing the complementary players step up and give you minutes and give you big numbers. And that's different from the regular season. So I don't know if you're going to count on them. The one exception is Landry Shamet. But I feel like Doc is figuring out who's going to be the best in this bubble and who do I maybe have to put to the side. And it's a period of discovery. I will say this. Anytime they felt like, you know what, we really need to step up and make a statement here, they have done it, particularly against the Dallas Mavericks, which is their likely first-round opponent. They came together. So much like the regular season, every time I start to think, I'd like to see the Clippers get a little consistency and bring it together, they do something that makes a statement that makes me go, you know what, when they play, they can play better than anybody else.
Oh, Ricky, go get mad at me because, you know, every now and then my fan man comes out and I start to get a little scared, start biting these fingernails down. And right now I'm a little worried about our chemistry. I'm going to be real. You talk about you're not worried because Doc is not worried. We're three married men. My wife worries because she know I'm not worried. And guess what? She's smart for doing that because I ain't tripping on anything and nothing will get done if you use my mindset. So sometimes it's good for you to worry when someone else isn't. And I'm looking at this situation. We have like 13 dudes. Like literally when you try to set the rotation, it could be paralysis by analysis because everyone is capable. It's almost like you're looking at these guys and you're like, damn, Michael Green, he balling. Everybody balling. What am I going to do if I cut his minutes? He's a 20-minute guy, and I cut him down to 5 minutes in the playoffs. He's going to have visions of grandeur. And if I take that away from him, how is that going to work in this locker room in terms of chemistry? And is that going to be the optimal way for us to go out there and win basketball games? Because we have so many ways to do it. So I'm looking at a situation where I'm a young DJ growing up, and I remember I bought my first little mixer. It was a little 12-channel mixer, and it had 12 buttons, and you treble over here and bass over here, and it was pretty simple to play with. And then you look at Dr. Dre's mixing board, and that's what the Clippers got. Like, it's like 256 channels. You're like, you better fine-tune this because you can mess this up, and I'm just scared. We got so much, we might not have enough because we don't know how to play it.
Look, I hear you, Marcellus, because you really don't want 12 guys that you can play or and several of them are on the same level. And that is what the Clippers have. But I really think they are so all in on this championship. I think they know that one of their little leaders, Patrick Beverley, it's all about winning a championship. Doc Rivers, obviously a veteran voice. Kawhi, Paul George, not really vocal, but they are fixated on a championship. That I gotta believe that your Michael Greens and Patrick Pattersons and guys that might not play as much once everybody is there will buy in and accept that because this is all about a championship ring. And the reason I believe Doc isn't worried is because this has been the case all year. I know that they wanted these eight games. Kawhi said it going into the bubble. They wanted these eight games to be where they finally got their full cast of players together and developed some consistency playing together. It didn't happen for various reasons. Montrezl Harrell's family tragedy, Lou Williams leaves the bubble, things like that. And so it didn't happen. But the bright side is whoever they've thrown out there, they've played well throughout the season. When Kawhi would come in the lineup and play three out of every four games, when they missed him, they were fine. When he was there, they were fine. I think a lot of that's because nobody really over-dribbles too much or dominates the ball. Kawhi will dribble it, Lou will dribble it, but not like a lot of the stars in the league. So they have their system. Everyone seems to fit in. Most guys know their role. So I think they're pretty good. I was worried a bit about Marcus Morris, and Reggie Jackson. But as time has gone on, Morris has shot a little bit less. Seemed to understand his role a little bit better, and now he's playing well. Reggie Jackson is going to have to understand, you know, you don't shoot as much, but outside of those little things, I think they'll be fine.
Man, it sounds good, man. Until I got to the league, and, you know, you go to the club, and you're with 13 dudes that will put their credit card down on the table, and you're like, yeah, this is a dream. I ain't got to have all these freeloaders and beggars with me. Until one of them dudes like, hey, since I can't get my own table, I don't want to sit at yours. I'm going to go sit over here. Next thing you know, you're fractured. You're
splattered all around the club and not sitting there at one table. Kind of liked it when I had to take care of all my boys. They had to sit with your boy. Coming up, Cam Newton says he has nothing to prove.
Mm-hmm.
We'll ask Uncle Jimmy if he really believes that. Rex, speak for yourself. Spoke to the media Friday, and the new Patriot said he doesn't have to prove anything to anybody but himself. Woo, spicy. Joined now by Uncle Jimmy. So you like Cam's mindset saying he has nothing to prove?
Oh, hey, man, damn that, man. What you and LeVar Arrington done with my boy, Manuel Oak?
No. What you mean? He went Oprah.
What the hell y'all done?
He just
said. Look, first of all, I know for a fact that the only person that got something to gain at the untimely demise of Emmanuel Ocho is none other than LeVar Arrington. And you are the self-confessed co-host killer. So I'm telling you right now, he better not fall victim to none of y'all's untimely demises of you two overly high-graded ass. What the hell done happened?
Please stand up and let's see what happened to your body. Oh, that's it.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to The Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.